You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
We're lucky to have RX Destroyer sponsoring the Pharmacy Podcast Network. RX Destroyer ready-to-use chemical drug disposal systems are safe, easy, and affordable products which meet the 2014 DEA drug disposal ruling. If you'd like more information on products, training, and medication waste compliance, check out www.rxdestroyer.com/pharmacypodcastnetwork.
Welcome to the Non-Traditional Pharmacist Podcast, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The Non-Traditional Pharmacist provides the pharmacist professional ideas to help you think outside the box. Pharmacy is evolving fast, and this podcast is all about the evolution of the pharmacist role in healthcare. And now, here is the Non-Traditional Pharmacist team, Lynn, Matt, and Nick.
Matt Paterini here with the Non-Traditional Pharmacist, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Boy, we have a great show today. Special guest David Vu is joining the Non-Traditional Pharmacist show today. And he's a great TNP guest for a couple reasons. Number one, excellent non-traditional role at KitCheck as a QA engineer, among other roles and responsibilities. We're going to talk about all of that and learn about his role there. He's a champion of pharmacy informatics. And number three, all around, just an awesome dude. So, David, welcome to TNP. Thanks for joining.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And we'll get right into it. Let's start with your current role. What is your current role? I mean, I said it was a QA engineer at KitCheck. What the heck does that mean? What is your current role, kind of a description of your day-to-day responsibilities and what you do?
Yeah, I'll give you guys a little bit of backstory. So I recently graduated in May of 2018 from VCU School of Pharmacy in Virginia, and I work for a company called KitCheck, which is a health IT company that focuses on improving pharmacy workflow by providing automated medication management solutions. So currently I work as one of the project managers and QA engineers for KitCheck, where I primarily work on BlueCite for controlled substances, and I'll definitely go down exactly what that is. And just a fun fact about KitCheck, and I didn't tell you, Matt, but one of our chief technology officer is actually one of the founders for Xbox and actually presented one of the initial designs for it. So it's really cool to have someone like him in a pharmacy software setting. And so me being in healthcare technology, I never dreamed of being able to collaborate with someone like that. So that's just a little bit about KitCheck. In terms of the work that I do, so I was mentioning I primarily work on BlueCite for controlled substances, which is a management tool that provides 100% coverage of controlled substances audit. So in hospitals, the current methods of drug divergent detection, it's a really manual process, which requires a lot of shifting through large volumes of data from different systems. And so what BlueCite does, it takes that information, applies machine learning algorithms, really to detect abnormal patterns in a provider behavior and be able to surface any type of outliers for our end users to investigate. So with BlueCite, my work mainly consists of feature testing, data analysis, and mainly working on the implementation of customer go-lives from a data perspective and making sure that everything is being met in a very timely manner. So in my line of work, I touch nearly every team in my company. So I could be working with my implementation team, being part of customer-facing calls. I could be working with my support team, working on the providing understanding of the logic codes. I could be working on with the engineering team, collaborating with new product features, or providing clinical content behind some feature requests that we have. But as a QA engineer, that role, it's actually really similar to being a pharmacist, where a pharmacist, they are looking at prescriptions, they're seeing what exactly is wrong with the prescription, if there is any, and then they're determining if there's clinical relevancy for that medication and for that patient. But then they'll go out and make recommendations to the doctors if they, you know, if there's any issues, and they'll go ahead and remedy it. So same thing applies in my QA engineer position, where we're identifying problems in the source code for bugs and stuff like that, and then making recommendations to developers. You know, they are to be able to augment and change the code in order to fix that. And so that's eerily similar to being a pharmacist, like I was mentioning. So that's my QA position. The other position that I have is functioning as a project manager for our software application, the BlueSight that I was mentioning, and being in charge of managing the timelines and of implementations for all of our hospitals that are going live. So a lot of the stuff that I'm doing, it's kind of all over the board, but it's great. I love it. It's for a lot of so much variety. I can't even handle it. So right now it's really great because as a pharmacist in the company and the only pharmacist in the engineering team, I become a really great accessible resources to the rest of my team. To really answer any type of clinical workflow or clinical questions that they have, and having that understanding because in my role also, I do a lot of the coding for our hospitals. And so being able to understand functionality, like how would the end user perceive our software and our application, and having that true understanding in order to make a good product. So that's my role in a small excerpt and nutshell. So.
Such an awesome role. My question is, how did you get into that? Because I know when we were talking originally and when we first started talking about this role, I was like, wow, this is so cool. There's all different kinds of things you're doing here. But like you said, you don't even necessarily need to have a pharmacy degree for this role. Is that correct? And then how did you get into this? Because it's such a non-traditional, unique path to take from pharmacy school.
Yeah, definitely. So I'll explain to you in terms of the backstory a little bit. So during pharmacy school, I was really interested in pharmacy informatics. So working with any type of technology, dealing with, you know, pharmacy, right? And one of the things that I worked on during my time, I took an elective, a pharmacy informatics elective. And one of the things that we did during that time was we just so happened to implement KitCheck. So KitCheck has two products, one of them being BlueSight. The other one is their flagship product called KitCheck, which is a hardware system that utilizes RFID technology or radio frequency identifier technology to improve verification and medication management of all the medications in the hospital, especially in OR trays and any type of, you know, medication tray that exists. And so I was working through my school as helping out with the implementation with KitCheck. And so I would be able to train pharmacy technicians on how to utilize the product and give them a better understanding in terms of the workflow behind it. So when I worked with KitCheck, that general understanding of their mission, which is improving the efficiency within the healthcare and the hospital. And so that's a lot of what I really resonate with is just I am a big advocate for overall efficiency in anything. So that really connected with me really well. And so as I was going out, a couple years passed later, and I ended up graduating, passing my boards, and I was looking out for positions. And one of those positions happened to be a data analyst position for KitCheck. In that position, it was a contract position, and it was a position that required a bachelor's and some background in healthcare, but having a strong understanding of data analysis. So to analyze that position, it didn't require a pharmacist to be a data analyst. But when I interviewed with them, and I was competing against, at that time, other statisticians for that job, and I ultimately was able to get that job because of my understanding in pharmacy, being able to understand the workflow patterns of pharmacy in general. And so, you know, getting that position, it was very beneficial for the company just because there's 60 people in the company. I was the first pharmacist and first and only pharmacist to join the engineering team. So being a relatively accessible resources to the rest of the staff to answer any questions. And so I was able to provide a lot of value to my company that way. But at the same time, my company provided a lot of value to me because as a smaller company, the things that I do, I'm able to make large impacts towards the end result of my product. And that ultimately ends up to the customer. So being able to feel like I am making a significant contributions towards the company, that was really great. And so, you know, utilize having that attitude and having a hustler mentality of just working hard like any other pharmacist. They work extremely hard and, you know, pushing further and further. And so I was able to provide a lot of value as a data analyst, and they eventually took me on in a full-time position as a QA engineer in a couple of months. Then a couple of months later after that, I was helping out with collaborative practice with pharmacists and physicians, where pharmacists are serving in some capacity as a physician. So I was functioning the same way, QA engineer and a developer. So being able to develop the source code for my hospitals, if you understand that analogy. So then a couple months later after that, I ended up becoming one of the project managers in that sort of the data quality and implementation of customer go lives. So it was a huge rocket in terms of the roadmap that I had, just because, you know, I was just taking, initially when I took the data analyst position, like I was mentioning, it was a pharmacist position. And generally when people go out to pharmacy school, you know, they want to become a pharmacist and really make full 100% use of their degree. But at the end of the day, how was I thinking about it? Because at that time, I was being offered several jobs, staff pharmacist positions, hospital, retail, yeah, Epic Informatics position. Those were on the table, and I have a data analyst position. So I ultimately chose the data analyst position because, you know, at the core of it, I felt like I am an innovator at heart, and I just so happen to be a pharmacist. So I didn't really want to have to really justify getting a degree, but definitely getting a degree would not got me to where I am right now because of the past experiences that I had and the skills that I learned from pharmacy school. And so taking that and thinking myself as an innovator, I really rocketed myself to a great position. You got to start off from the bottom and just work your way up. And it's great. It's been less than 10 months and from data analyst to project manager. And so right now I feel, in terms of my career path moving forward, I feel very uncapped just because I have the technical mindset and the clinical mindset to really do whatever I want. And that's the greatest feeling.
I love that story. And it's so different for everyone. You know, everyone's path is very different. And your path is actually a very good example of leveraging both kind of the direct skills of a pharmacist, but also the indirect skills. And I think people forget about that, especially in the pharmacy world. A lot of times, like you mentioned, the number one goal out coming out of pharmacy school is to get a pharmacy job. Why is that the case necessarily? Well, because you have the formal training, you've made a significant investment, both time and money, into obtaining that degree and those credentials. So it naturally makes sense that you would want to pursue a formal career in that area after. But the career and job market is changing for pharmacists. So it's not necessarily the case. And people have to go through their own mental thought process on how to get to that path that makes the most sense for them. So I love the story and appreciate you sharing and you kind of being open a little bit about how you mentally went through that process to get where you are today. I guess I would ask next about how that professional, all that professional stuff that we've been talking about, how does that impact you personally? How does it fit in with your personal goals in life, in general? Because that's just as important.
Yeah, absolutely. So my number one goal is I want to be able to impact patients at a grandiose scale. So that's thinking about it when I was working back in retail, even though I had a lot of patient interaction, was able to help out and go above and beyond to help my customers and help out my patients and have that relationship, I definitely was feeling like it was a one-on-one impact. And it was just, they were coming back in a week or so. But thinking about myself and the impact that I want to make in healthcare and as an individual, I wanted to make a large impact. And so that's why I joined and entered into healthcare technology, because a lot of things that I'll be able to do, it would not only just affect one patient, but many patients really downstream. So I'll be really satisfied knowing that the work that I do would have long-lasting contributions to overall patient health in so many states and the like. So being able to make that huge impact from, you know, maybe even making code, doing a little bit of coding, to to be able to provide some value to a clinician or a pharmacist to free up their time, release some of their pain points so they could do what's important, which is helping out and focusing on their patients. So that's really a huge downstream trickle effect. Even though I don't have that one-on-one patient interaction, I'm really satisfied knowing that, you know, I indirectly impact patients on the grandiose scale.
What advice would you give to pharmacy students, I guess even pharmacists too, if they're looking to maybe pursue a career, a new career, or a career change in the pharmacy informatics realm, maybe not necessarily data analyst, but maybe something close? What advice would you give to folks looking to make that change in their career path?
Yeah, so the biggest advice I would give someone is really have a questioning attitude. So my core ideologies are, you know, I look at some process or technology and I just think, you know, how could this be faster? How could this be better? How could this be more efficient? Because I think a lot of the times we think about that stuff, but we feel, you know, disempowered by, you know, this is out of my control. You know, corporate is dealing with it. If I make any recommendations, then my voice isn't going to be heard. So those are, and then people may get discouraged. But those type, that's a way of thinking that we have as innovators, by pharmacy informaticists, by people in healthcare technology, is being able to identify pain points, personal pain points, and other people's pain points to see if you're able to try to resolve it by developing a solution or improving some type of process or augmenting organizational structure. And thinking, if you have that sense of thinking all the time, you don't, it's crazy in terms of the creativity that comes behind it. And then moving forward, if you're interested in that healthcare technology, that sort of mindset is highly beneficial because you're able to make the product better. You're able to develop a product after that. Then, you know, utilize that and then help out your customers, help out your patients, and, you know, alleviate a lot of their pain points that way. And so that's one way of, you know, that mode of thinking would definitely go a long way in this type of field. My next few advice would just be, you know, go out and start talking to people. Go and talk to me, message me on LinkedIn in terms of, and ask other people, like, what are the skill sets that are necessary for a job? Is there anything that you could possibly do in terms of experiences? Just because I think about it, you know, there's a lot of people that have, you know, made a lot of progress in their career already. Right. And so reaching out to them, and it's just a simple LinkedIn message of, hey, just was really interested in your career, and kind of backing track in terms of exactly what did they do to really get them to a position. See if you're able to trend some sort of data of, hey, I've done this internship or I've done this experiences, and really stepped into that path and reverse engineer someone that's already a few steps ahead of you in a position that you really crave as a dream position, and kind of working yourself backwards that way. So those are some several ways that you're able to really get to that. And also thinking about, you know, not feeling like you're going to fail. Feeling like a failure actually would be a good phrase, because you do want to fail. You want to really fail fast and not be afraid to fail, because the faster you fail, sure, that might, you know, not be great at first, but you're able to learn from it, you're able to grow from it, and you're able to build up the experiences. And, you know, that promotes you, encourages you to, you know, work and think outside the box that way. And then you could think back, like, if I didn't do that, then where I am right now would have never happened. So taking the risk to fail and simply try as many things as much as possible.
A couple of great things that I heard there were talk with a lot of different people and get their experiences to really learn from not only what they did well to get where they are today, but also maybe where they have made mistakes along the way, and kind of learn from that and build your own set of experiences to help direct your career paths, your career exploration, to finally fit into an area and a career that fits you best, because it's different for everyone. So I would like to kind of conclude the show, David, with getting your thoughts on it. I'm very interested to hear your thoughts on this question, which is, what do you think is the future of the pharmacy profession?
Definitely. So I think pharmacy is headed towards an area where technology will be a prominent player in healthcare in really more ways than one. So big data and analytics, artificial intelligence, natural language processing, blockchain, and much more. So this intersection between healthcare and technology is definitely where our pharmacy profession is going towards, because if you're able to use technology to be able to, you know, either save money, generate money, or provide better care, more efficient care, and not involve so much of the human factors involved, and have, you know, technology be able to provide that data, right? Provide that information to you front hand, is key to, you know, having less costly healthcare to our patients and just overall improving the quality of the healthcare treatment for our patients too.
Thanks a lot, David, for joining the Non-Traditional Pharmacist today. We certainly appreciate your time. Remember, everyone, hey, one of the things that I liked most about this episode and this show is being able to learn from all of the different experiences. David's a great example of not only a non-traditional pharmacist, but also the way he thinks about and approaches his career moving forward. Excellent, excellent stuff. Please share the show with your network. Connect with David on LinkedIn. We look forward to seeing everyone next time on the Non-Traditional Pharmacist, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to the Non-Traditional Pharmacist. Be sure to share this podcast with your work associates, your professional network, and remember, always be thinking outside the pillbox.